Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Reveses de nuestras tropas en Guantánamo y Santiago, mi permanencia en Cuba es insostenible. Renuncio para evitar más derramamiento de sangre y salgo de la ciudad inmediatamente. Me despido a nombre de mi familia y en el mío propio, deseándoles a todos muy buena suerte. Como
mi último salud, salud, salud.
Ahora nombro un gobierno provisional.
You know what I'm doing?
Salud.
Does anyone have any idea?
Salud. Salud.
That chills up your spine. Anyone have chills up their back yet? Freedom, freedom. Don't be scared. I'm your brother. I'm smart, I can handle things.
Fredo! Come on, come with me.
All right, guys, this is what it's all about. That's the famous scene from The Godfather 2 where the Batista regime is overthrown by the communists that you now know are friends of Barack Obama and Dick Durbin. And the country was taken over by two dictators who have ruled it with iron boots for half a century. The people were better off under the dictatorship than they are under communism, as you well know. Dictatorships are often benign. In other words, they're not all bad. Not all dictatorships are evil. And not all democracies, so-called, are good. But what's interesting here is that Obama has alienated Russia, starting a third world war with Russia, while reaching out to Cuba. This is an example of the myopic thinking of the girls who are running his administration. The girls from Harvard, the girls from Columbia, the girls from Chicago are running this country off the rails. We are pushing Russia to war, and we are now embracing Cuba. And what will happen next? We don't know under this dictatorship. We don't know what the girls' choir is liable to do next. Are they going to lift sanctions on Iran and North Korea in a week or two while you're celebrating Christmas? Will they then impose sanctions on Israel? And what will happen then? Will he reverse the world order to an extent that you don't even know what's going on? Welcome to the Savage Nation. To me, the big topic is Cuba, Cuba, Cuba. So to begin the show, I played the scene from The Godfather, a very famous scene, where he says, start the speech again for a minute. Due to serious setbacks to our troops in Guantánamo and Santiago, my position in Cuba is untenable.
En Cuba es insostenible.
I'm resigning from office.
Renuncio para evitar más derramamiento
avoid
de
bloodshed.
Sangre.
And I'm leaving the city immediately. This is the speech we would pray Obama would have given today. What's interesting to me is that Obama reaches out to dictators in Cuba. He seems to want to reset relations with every dictatorship on the planet. And the only people he will not reach out to are the American people who despise him. The actual taxpaying American people despise this petty dictator who rules by memoranda. This came out yesterday that this group of girls that are running the country are so sneaky that instead of using executive orders where he could say, look, my number of executive orders are lower than that of Bush. Well, factually, that's correct. But he's using another tactic, which is he's writing memoranda which have the same effect as executive orders. And in that, he's exceeded that of the last five presidents, by the way. This is the sneak attack by the girls' choir who's running America. There are many elements to this Cuba thing, including the Pope. The Pope, as you well know, is, let us say, a Marxist sympathizer. That's well established by any educated individual. The Pope was the first non-European Pope selected in 1,200 years. Unto itself, that was unusual. And then they picked someone who grew up in the era of communism in the country from which he came. The man has sympathies of Marxism at every turn, and he was working with the Cubans and the Americans for more than a year to make this happen. So the question is, why does the Vatican want relations with Cuba restored? That's one question. And I'm not so sure I have an answer to it. I can't figure it out. The second question is, why does he alienate Russia and push Russia into a corner and open up relationships with Cuba? That's the second question. And I'm going to talk about my opinion. But in order to do this rationally, we have to go back to the United States embargo against Cuba, which was introduced back in the 60s under JFK. And you don't know this, but JFK did this the same way Obama's doing it. He did it as an executive action. You may not know it, but Democrats are basically always dictators. The Democrat Party is the party not of the people, but the party of communism, the party of a dictatorship. The Cuban embargo is in effect, by the way. And the reason it was in effect, and it's been a complete failure, incidentally, the reason it was put in effect was an attempt to make these merciless dictators, the Castro brothers, somewhat ease their grip on the Cuban people who live in terror. They live in a reign of terror. The secret police operate around the clock, etc. The question is this better for America? That's all I care about. I don't really know. Is this going to be better for America or worse for America? I don't really know. Now, there are principled conservatives who are hardline on this who say, no, you can't do it. Rubio gave, I think, the first good speech of his entire life as to why this embargo, as it were, should not have been lifted. Rubio actually looked good. He's not presidential material. He's a good senator, and that's about it. But he gave a very good speech. Menendez, a Democrat from New Jersey, of all people, came out against the president's action. That's interesting unto itself. But there are many elements to this that I want to discuss with you, and I'd like you to call if you know something about it, not just kind of bombastic, idiotic statements. Just call 855-407-282 if you have an educated statement to make on this issue of Cuba, because it's a bombshell that was dropped on us. Let's begin with a little Cuban music, Pati Cochero by Orquesta Aragon, which I grew up on in New York in the 1960s. I'm a Cuban music lover. It doesn't mean I'm an expert on Cuba, but believe me, I know more about it than you may think. And here we go, Orquesta Aragon, Pare Cochero. Are any of you old Dancing on Two Guys listening to this show who grew up to Cuban music, as I did? Did you stand under the bandstand and listen to Jose Fajardo with his wooden flute, as I did? Much. I'm in a very good mood because I've always wanted to go to Cuba, but I was afraid to go to Cuba for fear I wouldn't come back. So now I know I'm never going to go to Cuba because I know I wouldn't come back. The music was far better under the dictator Batista. Marina on WFTL in Florida knows something about Batista's regime. Welcome to the Savage Nation from Fort Lauderdale. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello, Mike. You know, I've lived in South America. I lived in Panama for 3 years, been all over South America, talked to a lot of expat Cubans as friends of mine. And you said that most Cubans were better under Batista. I would take it further and say that all Cubans, even the lowest man on the economic totem pole, was better off. When you think about it, the economy was much, much larger, and all the tourism required a lot of services, doormen, shoeshine boys, peasants in the country growing their own food. There was just a huge demand.
Do you know that under the purest regime of the Castros, prostitution is rampant amongst young girls? Did you know that?
Yes, I did. I mean,
do you know that that's why most American leftists go to Cuba, is for the cigars and the underage prostitutes? Did you know that as well?
I've known guys here that go there for exactly that reason.
So this is something that should be understood, that the Castros are a total disaster for the Cuban people. But the question is, why are we opening the doors to Cuba now? That's the real issue. What is this really about?
Because Obama and Chavez and these Marxist communist dictators, including Dilma of Brazil, are all kindred spirits. They all
Chavez is dead, but okay, I understand. The man who replaced him is the same. Look, my theory, as I expressed in "Stop the Coming Civil War," is that there's been a worldwide Marxist revolution in the entire world. The Pope is a Marxist. Obama is a Marxist. De Blasio in New York is a Marxist. The president of France is a Marxist. Go around the world and see what's going on. The puppeteers running the world have carefully implanted Marxists everywhere. We are moving towards worldwide dictatorship, worldwide communism. And that's why he's trying to make nice with Cuba.
Right. It just solidifies the Socialist International, which was always the cover for international Marxism and communism.
And as far as this Alan Gross, you mean we're going to sacrifice American foreign policy for one spy?
Well, I mean, it was a bad trade. I mean, just like Guantanamo, you trade one for three or some kind of lopsided number. It's not even about that. It's just about giving away the store.
You know, but Marinette, listen, this is not all bad. That's the problem. It really isn't the black and white issue. That's why I'm somewhat ambivalent on this issue. Knowing Obama's instincts, I know that there's some nefarious reason for this sudden change of policy, which he did by fiat in the middle of the night, again, without consulting Congress. This is how this dictator acts. Before rushing off to Hawaii on his three-week vacation, he does a thing like this. What is he saying to the American people? Screw you again? What is he saying to Congress? Drop dead again? Unto itself, it's an insult to the American way of life. He is showing that he's just like the Castros in that regard. On the other hand, this is probably going to be good for the Cuban people, wouldn't you say?
No, I wouldn't say that because there'll be no impetus for change in that regard. What would be good for the Cuban people, I think, would be a full-scale invasion. And it should have happened a long time ago. I mean,
Listen to me. Both of the Castros are extremely old. They're octogenarians. They're both ill. They're not going to be around much longer. Perhaps this will usher in a wave of reform in Cuba in an inadvertent manner. That's what I'm hoping for. There is a protest going on right now in Little Havana, right near you in Miami. You know that.
Yeah, I do. And I know Cubanos that live here.
And do you know what they're screaming about Obama? They're screaming, traitor, traitor. They understand who Obama is. They understand who the Castros are. They understand that this is a slap in the face to those who have flocked to this country to run away from that dictatorship.
You're absolutely
so thank you for the call. There's a man who knows a little bit about it. What do you think about this issue with Cuba? Now, remember my main point, which is perplexing to me. My main point is, on the face of it, if you were, let us say you're a girl who goes to Columbia University and you were raised on Adderall or Ritalin, and you really don't know anything. Your parents were somewhat liberal or outright red diaper doper babies. And you grew up in New York City, and your attitudes are that of classic liberalism. You would say, hey, what's wrong with this? How do we lose by this? And you don't really understand the context of this or what it really means. And on the face of it, young people really don't even know what it is about Cuba that the older folks care so much about. And that's an interesting situation. But I would like Cubans listening to this show, listening on the Savage Nation, who know what communism is and what Castro did to the middle class. This is the most important part of today's show. Remember, let's go to South America. Chavez, who is now dead. Chavez destroyed the middle class in his nation. Chavez destroyed the middle class in Venezuela. Chavez and his policies are being duplicated by Obama and the sorority that runs America. They're going after the middle class in the same way, albeit at a slower pace. But they decimated the middle class. Castro wiped out the middle class. There's only the ruling Communist Party elite. There are so many things about Castro's communism that you should know that are very important. First of all, although they allege to be non-racist, the Castros, as you well know, are Europeans in origin. They are not of the African origin, as many Cubans are. Some of the greatest musicians were of Afro-Cuban descent. But the fact of the matter is, they have a very, very low percentage of Africans in the Cuban ruling elite. Did you know that? Despite the lies of the communists who run Cuba, there are almost no blacks in the leadership. That's number one. There are many things you have to know about Cuba, including the fact that gays are quarantined who have AIDS. I think that is still true. Do a fact check on it. They're notoriously homophobic. They have quarantined gays with AIDS on a separate island for many decades. Did you know that as well about your friend Castro? There are things that are worth discussing that are somewhat of the subtext, but sometimes the devil is in the details. I'm running short on time. It's a great topic. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
most significant changes in our policy in more than 50 years. We will end an outdated approach that for decades has failed to advance our interests, and instead, we will begin to normalize relations between our two countries.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, he did it in the middle of the night. The sorority girls decided to do this several months ago, and on the eve of Congress not being there and him leaving on a three-week junket to Hawaii, he does something that's shocking. It can be debated, it can be discussed, it can be argued, that's what's done in a democracy. But since we are living in a flimsy dictatorship under this man, Obama, he does things like this in the middle of the night, the way all traitors do things in the middle of the night. Now the question is it good for America or bad for America? In Little Havana, where they know more about it than I do and you do, they're saying two things. They're happy for the release of Gross, but they're not happy for this particular issue by Obama's executive order or whatever he did it by memoranda. President Obama's position says that in isolating Cuba, it hasn't worked. And most Cubans agree, but they still don't want to see this change in policy. They said this. They said, I absolutely agree it has not worked, but sometimes you have to do something because it's the right thing to do as a matter of principle and conviction, said Mr. Gonzalez. He's a Cuban-American in a cafe in Miami speaking today. The younger generations who have no values whatsoever, in either in America or in Miami, younger generation have no values. They have no moral compass. They don't know north from south, east from west. They don't know up from down. They do not know communism from capitalism. They don't know police from criminals. The younger generations know nothing, and they're excited about the prospect of going to Cuba for cigars and other entertainments. The question is, what do you think about it on the Savage Nation?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's a funny day for me because I happen to love pre-Castro Cuban music. It's one of my personal likes. I like it. Grew up on it in New York. Does it make me an expert on Cuba? Yes. More so than most Republicans who know nothing about Cuba. Play up the music, though. So the standard Republican line is, this is bad, Obama's a devil. Stop. This is bad, Obama's a devil. They're hardliners. So they're going to take the obvious Republican position on it. I understand the hardline position that can be taken. However, I want to know the actual nefarious reasons for Obama doing this in the middle of the night. Why is he doing this? It had nothing to do with Alan Gross. I'm sure that they didn't cater to three rabbis who wanted Alan Gross released. Alan Gross worked for USAID, and I have, you know, between me and you, AID is a front group for spying. I have to clear the air, you know, and say what I know to be, you know, I'm glad Alan Gross is free, but you don't change U.S. policy for one spy. They say he went there to bring the internet to a Jewish community. Again, a double cover. Well, the government of Cuba didn't want the internet because it would have meant the people would have been free to criticize the dictatorship of the Castro brothers. That's their policy. I don't agree with it, but that's their policy. So he got arrested. So right away, they had to bring in a guy with a yarmulke today to say how wonderful this is, which made my flesh crawl. Why must everything be surrounding the Jewish? Why? What is it about Alan Gross? It made my flesh crawl. Why a rabbi? What did he have to do with this? Nothing. Something else is going on, especially when the communist pope, the Marxist pope, is involved. There's something for the Vatican in this, and there's something more at play in this. There's a much bigger policy, and I'd like to know what it is. I'd like to know what it is. There's something bad for America here. In other words, for the sorority that runs America to do this, there has to be something disastrous for the middle class in this country. I'd like to know your opinion. Jared on KSFO, what is, in your opinion, what's really being done here?
Looking at it, you know, looking at what we have going on with OPEC and driving down the world oil prices, it seems to me that there's a connection between Russia's connection and having military bases for the past, I don't know, a few decades, and us knowing that we're provoking Russia by driving down the ruble.
So what, you think that by reaching out to Cuba, this is a chess move to have them not let Russia move missiles back in and have another missile crisis to embarrass Obama?
Well, militarily speaking, it's their one true connection in order to be able to establish a force that could hurt the U.S.
Well, you raise a fascinating point of view from the point of view of international chess. sounds fascinating to me. Now, something I raised that's not been raised by anyone in the media yet, and I guess I don't think they know geography. Guantanamo is on the island of Cuba. You know that, right?
Right.
So let's put that into the equation in our discussion today on the Savage Nation. What is this about with regard to Gitmo? You know Obama's wanted to release the terrorists from the get-go. So what does that have to do with this?
Well, I mean, I really wish everything was black and white, Dr. Savage. Wouldn't that make it easier?
Thank you. That's what an answer, man. You're a pretty good philosopher. It isn't black and white, is it? Remember I said at the beginning, this is not black and white. There's a lot of nuance here. And there are many, many elements at play that we can't quite understand because we're only watching from the outside. There's a benefit to the Vatican. There's a benefit to the international socialist movement on the globe. There's a benefit, of course, to the communist operatives in the United States government. What, though, is the benefit to the American people is what I want to know, Jared. I don't know what that benefit might be.
Well, if I were to be confident that in all of our government that we truly believe that the leaders that we see on TV are who actually make the decisions, in my opinion, this is a Pentagon strategy. This is a something bigger strategy, which I hope we don't see on the media.
Well, you raised the only point I think is valid today, which is the move to normalize relations with Cuba is to negotiate with them so they don't take any Russian weaponry or Russian troops on the island. I think that's what you're saying, right?
You know, we have a very shallow memory here as opposed to the rest of the old world. And we don't, we don't remember things 5 years ago. They remember things 50 years ago and still hold it. And it's just a matter of leadership as to who takes action.
Well, why is Obama doing it now? Your allegation, or rather your theory, is that he's doing it now because he's afraid Putin will move weapons into Cuba, right?
Well, I think that that's correct. I think, you know, I think that he's had enough advisors and enough people going, hey, this is the time. We've been flirting with this for a while. If we're going to do something, now's the time. Because things are going on with the nuclear Iran, with Russia's interests in the Middle East. You know, it doesn't take a genius to know that we have a hotbed.
Okay, so the next move from this shadowy president who does things as though he's a dictator, he looks like a banana republic dictator in almost all of his actions now. He thinks he's running Venezuela rather than the United States of America, where he's nullified Congress and the American people. The next move is going to be normalizing relations with Iran. Do you suspect that's the next move?
Well, I think everything we've seen has led us to believe that.
Mm-hmm. And when will he put sanctions on Israel?
I'm not sure that he'll have...
I mean, he's trying to break Russia. Why shouldn't he now go for broke and try to break Israel? After all, the Marxist ideology says if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. Why not break the egg called Israel? That would be along his lines. The Jews of America would still vote for him. You know that. The liberal Jews in America would vote for Obama even if he broke Israel over his knee. Do you know that?
No question. No question.
Okay, so, you know, that's a topic that gets me so angry I can't even start to talk about it in a public forum. But I tell you, you are a brilliant strategist. Jared, may I ask what you do for a living?
I'm a landscape construction contractor.
Well, don't laugh. I found that the so-called average man is not so average at all, especially those who are drawn to this program. I have the most intelligent audience in talk radio. Everybody knows that. And all of them come naturally onto the show. None of them are pre-called to call in with stooge questions. Jared, stay on the line. We're sending you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. You're worthy of the book. It's that simple. What is he doing it for? That's what I want to know. Why is he doing this? That's what I really want to know. And let's go to WABC in New York City. Rick, you have a story to tell. Tell it on the Savage Nation.
Hi. It's not a funny story, but my dad went to law school with Mr. Castro. And actually...
Hold on. This is an interesting side story, and I have to talk with you. I'm the only one in the media who knows that Castro went to a Catholic boys' school in the Bronx, in Bronxville. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And he also went to the University of Havana, which was, until Castro took over, a very prestigious law school there. And my dad, who's still alive, 94, like Castro, I think they're fighting each other who's going to die first, but that's another whole issue. The problem is, okay... The old Cubans like him, they want the embargo, this, and that. But the younger ones, the first and second generation, they really don't care. They want to see their relatives. They want to go back. and other things, and they're a little less involved, okay? It's almost like the World War II veterans.
We understand that, and we've touched on that. Was your family Cuban?
Yes. My mom's not Cuban, but my father, yes, was born in Cuba. Actually, he was a land baron in the western part of Cuba, Pinar del Rio.
All right, but your family lost everything when the dictatorship took over under the Castros, right?
We have Super 8 Milby. I go, Dad, what's that? Oh, that's the one who attended the dorms. That's the one who did this. I go, oh, you were really wealthy. Yeah, but we lost everything. He was so happy to come to America. We grew up on Long Island in a small town, which was terrific, okay?
Did your father rebuild his life in America starting with nothing?
He became a Spanish teacher. His kids, he had five kids. One brother, which would be another great story for a book, he applied to the Air Force Academy in the 70s. But they saw that, University of Havana. So we had all these guys check my brother out. You know, it was really funny when you think about it. But he got in, and he's a retired Air Force pilot.
Isn't that amazing? No, the Cuban people are extremely intelligent, very hardworking, unlike most of the immigrants coming from Central America today. A total difference. It's a difference in night and day. It's the alpha and omega of immigration. A total difference, by the way. I know that for a fact. But, Rick, your main story is that your family lost everything when this dictatorship under the Castros took over, just as the middle class is shrinking under Obama, because birds of a feather flock together. That's basically the story, is it not?
Yeah, that's the story. And why Obama wants to do this, it's simple. Guantanamo is on a lease, so he can give the land back to Cuba on the lease. And it's his excuse that, oh, we have to get rid of Guantanamo because the Cubans now own the land and not the Americans. He'll give up the lease. If you look at it that way.
And what, he's just going to release the Gitmo terrorists, then go back and conduct worldwide terrorism, or is he going to move them to Molokai in Hawaii?
They're going to conduct worldwide terrorism. What do you think? He's just going to.
I don't think, maybe he should put them on an American military base on Honolulu.
Yeah. Better accommodations than Havana. What can I tell you?
It's a pretty big story, though, Rick, doing this in the middle of the night, as dictators will do, without any consultation with Congress or the American people, is a slap not only to the American people, but to worldwide democracy. It's a signal that democracy doesn't matter to a petty dictatorship run by a sorority. Rick, thanks for calling. The time is 45 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Over many months, my administration has held discussions with the Cuban government about Allen's case and other aspects of our relationship. His Holiness Pope Francis issued a personal appeal to me and to Cuba's President Raul Castro, urging us to resolve Allen's case.
Allen again.
And to address Cuba's interest in the release of three
Allen
Cuban
is.
Agents who've been jailed in the United States for over 15 years.
Of course, we're talking about the big story of the day. And we're waiting for the other shoe to drop, which will be releasing sanctions on Iran and North Korea, perhaps. Perhaps taking in North Korean spies as refugees, Iranian spies as refugees. And then, of course, putting sanctions on Israel for trying to survive. You know, I'm looking at this guy and the pictures of him in the Daily Mail. And I see a picture of the Battle of Valley Forge in the Oval Office. I see a white alabaster bust of George Washington and of Ben Franklin. And I'm asking how long it'll be until we wake up one day and these busts are removed, and instead there are busts of Al Sharpton with a megaphone screaming for Freddy's Fashion Mart to catch on fire. Or perhaps a bust on the right instead of a Ben Franklin, a bust of Jesse Jackson with a little quote over him in bold letters saying, calling New York Jaime Town. And instead of the Battle of Valley Forge behind Obama, we find the oil painting was thrown out in the garbage. And he had a new oil painting commissioned in the middle of the night through executive order, the Battle of Ferguson, Missouri. I don't know when that might happen. Perhaps the Stars and Stripes themselves can be removed and replaced with, let us say, the rainbow flag. Anything is possible under this petty dictatorship because there is no opposition party, as you well know, and certainly there's no opposition press. So other than a few people who actually can see things for what they are in the media, we are living in a putative dictatorship. The issue of releasing Alan Gross is, of course, a smokescreen. He was an operative of the USAID. He was spying for America. And if you look at the picture of him coming off Air Force 3 at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland today, you take a look in the picture, and you'll see who's standing on a tarmac. There's none other than the radical leftist Leahy of Vermont. There's Durbin on the tarmac, another operative of the far left. And so this historic shift in U.S. policy toward the communist island after a half a century of enmity dating back to the Cold War is a very important question. And what it really signals is the most important question. And there's no question in my mind it has a lot to do with things we don't even understand. The Vatican is going to benefit in some way. The left-wing international socialist cabal certainly is behind all of this. But what does it mean to you, the listener? What does this mean for you, the American middle class, is really all you care about. George on WABC is calling about the fiscal impacts. George, go ahead, please. What's your point?
My mother came here in 1960 from Cuba, and from Havana, a place called Camaywan. I was born in 1966. I was born in Passaic, New Jersey. I hear you talk about Passaic, that, you know, you'd end up a dentist in Passaic. I know Passaic very well. Anyway, look, the story is this. I got a lot of relatives over there. They make $5 a week. A household with old-timers and relatives, their monthly income, $20 a month. You always say follow the money. This is just another redistribution of wealth. Because Gross, yeah, that was just a deal to make this happen. But sooner or later, we're going to be giving Cuba money in the billions of dollars. And by the way, we send any money to Cuba to our family, 20% tax. The government takes 20%. Right?
So the billions of dollars that Obama will send to Cuba to normalize relations will go into their military buildup. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Their military is just going to get stronger and oppress the people. The people are not...
In other words, the secret police will get even stronger as a result of this.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable, George. What a sad statement this is. And, of course, I haven't heard any of this discussed from the chorus line on Fox News. The leg girls, the leg and lipstick crowd on Fox News didn't say any of this. They seem to be cheering this on, George.
Maduro,
I wonder what Martha Washington's going to have to say about this tonight. No doubt she'll take the hardline Republican viewpoint. But nevertheless, thanks for the call. Cubans know about this. But what about the Vatican? What is the Vatican going to benefit from this? That's all you have to ask yourself. Remember, Cuba is probably 100% Catholic, 90, whatever the percentage is, largely a Catholic nation, which is a good thing. So the Vatican gets a whole new flock of parishioners, which will send money into the coffers, your money, of course, because your money will go to build a church there. Your money will go to support Cuba. The Catholic Church will get probably hundreds of millions of dollars through Catholic charities. And as you well know, some of it gets kicked upstairs. And that's also an element that needs to be discussed, because for the Vatican to be this deeply involved means that there's got to be some money flowing to Rome. All roads lead to Rome, as was said in ancient Rome. We're talking about the biggest story of the day right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Second, I've instructed Secretary Kerry to review Cuba's designation as a state sponsor of terrorism. This review will be guided by the facts and the law. Terrorism has changed in the last several decades. At a time when we are focused on threats from Al-Qaeda to ISIL, a nation that meets our conditions and renounces the use of terrorism should not face this sanction.
Hasta la victoria siempre! Welcome to the Savage Nation. The communists have won. The communist operatives in America, like Leahy and Durbin and the others, let us say the communist sympathizers, are celebrating today the The rum is being poured in the White House because they have finally gotten their way. And the question for you, the audience, is what's the big deal? The average American doesn't care about this normalization with Cuba that was done in the middle of the night. Like in all dictatorships, there is no Congress anymore. As in all dictatorships run by the thin man, being no difference. Different. The dictatorship under the thin man is no different than other dictatorships, in that he does everything in the secrecy of the night. Now, you could argue this is not such a bad thing, but if it's not such a bad thing, why did the sneak do it in the middle of the night? Why did he and the sneaky women who run America do this in the middle of the night? Why did he and the sneaky left-wing fanatics in Congress do this in the middle of the night? Why did he and the sneaks on the left do this in the middle of the night and not bring it before the open light of day? Why didn't they have an open discussion? The answer is because there are many elements to this normalization story today that we can only begin to discuss. We can't really understand. Some of them are clear. Some of them are not clear. The damage to the middle class, though, to me, is one that worries me deeply, because this is not good for the American middle class. It's very bad for the American middle class. Watch what happens. All of the undesirables of Cuba will be released as refugees and will be sent to the United States of America. They will empty the jails out, and we'll wind up with them as refugees in this country. Wait until you see what happens. If you think the Mariel Boatlift was bad, and in some cases it was pretty bad, as you know, he released political prisoners, but amongst them he also released very serious criminals into America. Watch what happens next. The Vatican's involved. That worries me, since the Pope is an Argentinian socialist. There are other elements of this story that need to be told, which is how they treat blacks in the Cuban government. As you well know, you would think that a socialist paradise like Cuba would have total freedom, they'd have total equality. Don't. There are almost no African Cubans in the leadership in Cuba, almost none whatsoever. They're extremely racist and very insular. You don't know that part of it, but again, that's a subtext that you should know about. There are other elements that will come out, which I think that this is the road to releasing all the terrorists from Guantanamo, because if you know the basics of geography, you know that Guantanamo is on the island of Cuba. So this is definitely something to do with Guantanamo and releasing all the terrorists, because Obama's wanted to do this from the get-go. He's wanted the terrorists released from Guantanamo. The next step will probably be normalizing relations with Iran. They will get a nuclear weapon, and perhaps, God forbid, relations with North Korea will be normalized. And then, of course, the final coup will be a knife in the heart of Israel, where they will be sanctions imposed on Israel. He will have turned the whole world upside down, not for the betterment of the world, but for the goals and perspectives of the far left, the myopic left that are running this country. I'd like to know your opinions, though, on this very important question. And I'd like to begin by going to WJR in Detroit on the Savage Nation. Jose, what's your opinion?
Oh, Dr. Savage, there's so much to this. As you said, it's not black and white. You and I predicted this in 2008 when you gave me the honor of being perhaps the only caller you kept for about an hour in your show. We knew that Obama was going to act this way in foreign policy. There's a couple of things here, back and forth. First of all, what we're looking at, and we predicted at that time, is the Russification and the Chinafication of Cuba. What I mean by that is that we are seeing now, finally, the legitimation of everything that the Cuban military and the Castro family have done to appropriate themselves of all the state property that belongs to the people, just like the Russians did. So now they will go into a legitimate mode where these properties will become legitimate businesses. And they will be still the ruling class with a new facade. So the Chinification will be in that they will make some liberalization things in terms of economics and area, but they will remain in control of one political party. So we have, again...
Well, that's the model that Obama is following here in America, a single political party with no Congress.
Well, exactly, basically. But so there's going to be some benefit. There's like we say, you know, no, it's not black and white. There's going to be some benefit to the Cuban people, and perhaps to Cuban-American relationships. But Obama is a very, as he has demonstrated in international relations, is a very, very naive, as Jimmy Carter to the end number. in terms of naivete. He is dealing with two of the most astute negotiators and survivalists in Latin American politics, the Castro brothers, who have one of the largest espionage networks in the U.S. as we speak. Those spies that he has exchanged for Gross are responsible for the network that was responsible for the shooting down of four American citizens, of brothers to the rescue. And to this day, the Cuban regime has not paid for that. There are recordings of Raul Castro giving the orders of shooting those airplanes. So we, once again, have exchanged, as Carter, you know, kissed the cheeks of Brezhnev, and later Brezhnev invaded Afghanistan. We are not going to see major changes here. Now, if we're going to keep it...
All right, but let's push this aside. The average listener to my program asks, who cares? How does it affect the average American, in your opinion, Jose?
It doesn't, one way or the other, because the average American doesn't care and knows less about Cuba than they know about... They probably know less about their own country.
Okay, but why is Obama making this such a big deal then? Why would he do this in the middle of the night? Why? What is in it for the worldwide global socialist movement?
Well, because what you're seeing is the capitalization of international capital here. You know, we're so concerned about communism and socialism that the first people that gave up on socialism and communism long ago were the communists and the socialists. This is just populist.
Yeah, but the university types, the academics who run the Obama administration are still in love with the idea of communism and socialism. They're the only ones left in love with it.
Yes, absolutely, because they make hay no matter what. The academic world is one of the most comfortable worlds there is. They win, they have a win-win situation no matter the regime, because they can always change their positions and justify it intellectually and rationally. So
But Jose, between you and I, in terms of the day-to-day life of America, it's not a big deal?
It's not a big deal, really. I think it's going to be beneficial in one way or the other, but the embargo right now in Cuba has...
Okay, so why would Obama do it in the middle of the night all over again, slapping Congress in the face? Why did he do this now? What is he doing here?
Because he will not have the same Congress that he has now after January. Although between you and I, we know it's the same Congress, basically, in the way they have
it. It's sort of like an Argentinian Congress, I know. You just change the faces, but it's the same one.
But I think this is another way of Obama saying to Florida and to saying to the 48% of Hispanics that voted Republican and this past elections. Here is my finger, and, you know, I'm going to do it no matter what.
Well, Jose, what about the Catholic Church? Why are they so deeply involved in this?
Okay, in this sense, I see some positive light here, looking at it from the point of view of the Vatican. Remember, it was John Paul II and the Vatican that were very instrumental in bringing down Poland and the Iron Curtain. So they look at things very long term. They look at, you remember, the Catholic Church has been around for 2,000 years. They've seen a lot of regimes go down. They know that you can march around the walls of Jericho slowly and trumping until the walls will crack down. So there is that long-term thing. I don't think that I think the Pope may have initially intervened in a humanitarian sense for Gross and for some liberalization that John Paul II started asking. But I don't think that the rest of the policy is the Vatican's. I think it's Obama's. Now, the other thing too that you have to consider about this is that Raul Castro really is operating on knowing that Fidel is going to be gone soon. Fidel and Raul has never seen eye to eye on many things. Raul has been really wanting to...
Raul is a little bit more of a centrist, is what you're suggesting?
No, he's not. Well, he's just not as Raulista.
But Raul ran the secret police. He tortured and killed people, didn't he?
No, yeah, he's no angel. But what I'm saying is Fidel is a complete megalomaniac. Fidel is Fidelista. He's not communist. Fidel is Fidel, 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 and Fidel. That's all there is. Raul was ready to get out of the system and retire and go to his villas, wherever he was. But now what he has done is, he has, in the last 10 years, when we, you and I talked in 2008, before that, he has transitioned slowly the American economy to the top 10, 12 generals. Every industry, from government services to private industry, belongs to the top 10, 12 families of generals, some of which are intermarried within the Castro family as well.
It sounds very much like Iraq was under Saddam Hussein.
Yes, basically. So what they are doing now is they're going to legitimize a transition where they can keep everything and still have a veneer of international acceptance.
Jose, you've been a guest on this show as an actual guest, not as Jose, correct?
No, I never have as a guest, but you, for some reason I called you about 2008. And
well, you are you Cuban? Cuban?
No, I'm from Puerto Rico, but I have worked for 30 years and for analysis, and for 3 years I was monitor of Caribbean and Latin American affairs at the Carter Center. So, and I deal with these topics and teach it. But
well, you sure know what you're talking about. I mean, we may as well have had you on as a guest. So let me ask you a fiscal question, Jose, which is what the average man cares about. Should they invest in Cuban real estate?
Oh, you will see. You will see the biggest.
I know that the villas that were grand villas, which fell into disrepair under the communists, are going to be rebuilt, restored, and be worth a fortune eventually, correct?
That's been happening already, Dr. Savage. For the last 5 years, there are companies in Cuba now where Americans have been going on to have some of those fantasy weddings on the beach and the hotels.
Oh, how about the old cars? The 50s cars can be bought by collectors now.
Everything. You're going to see a carpet bagging like you've never seen before.
About the effects of the sellout of normalizing relations with Cuba on domestic American politics in a moment, meaning what is this going to mean in terms of Cubans in America voting for Jeb Bush? Wait and see what happens. My prediction is Jeb Bush is going to come out and put out a parsed statement in favor of the normalization. Watch. He's going to try and get the younger Cuban voters. Wait and see, because as you well know, the Bush and Clinton regimes are very close together. Jose on WJR, welcome back. You know this intimately. Tell the audience listening to this national program what Castro did to fellow revolutionaries after he seized absolute power.
Yes. Fidel Castro managed to purge there was no Cuban Communist Party as such. The biggest radical left-wing party was the Cuban Socialist Party. And what he did, he slowly managed to put them in their pocket to later on then purge them out. And what is really ironic about the academic left in the U.S. is that their equivalent in Cuba, socially and politically speaking, were all put in jail, executed.
Right, the intelligentsia of Cuba was imprisoned after Castro took over?
What he did.
What? Because he recognized that they could be a counter-revolutionary force. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So either you lined up with him or you were.
Wow. It sounds very much like what we see going on in America today on a minor scale. Line up with the thin man in the White House or he excommunicates you.
Party in the United States, didn't
they? Jose, let me send you a Christmas present. Stop the coming civil war. It's my attempt to open up America's eyes. As usual, a great pleasure speaking to a true man of knowledge. When I come back, we talk about Jeb Bush and the Cuban question right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage Nation returns. The fact of the matter is, I never liked Perez Prado, but he was very big, probably the biggest of all of them. He had a certain sound that wasn't authentic. Nevertheless, he was very successful, and he was Cuban, for sure. But the thing is, the issue is politics, not music. I'm not doing musicology. We're doing music on the program today. And, I mean, we're doing politics. I thought we were doing music. I wish we were doing music. The hardliners are saying this is a sellout. The hardliners are accusing Obama of rewarding bad behavior, which is nothing new. What's new about that? In my last book I wrote, he treats our enemies like friends and our friends like enemies. So this is part of his normal pattern. Some Republican lawmakers, Menendez of New Jersey, Democrat, Rubio of Florida, pushed back against the decision to enact a series of executive orders meant to normalize relations with Cuba, including asking Congress to ease or end the embargo. Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who I've never been impressed with, called it another concession to tyranny. I frankly think this was Rubio's finest moment. I was never impressed with Rubio, but I thought his speech today was very heartfelt and extremely important. But I want to play Rubio in a minute, but I want to introduce another aspect of this entire story, which is what effect will this have on the voting population in the United States of America, namely in Florida, where Jeb Bush is making machinations to run. The fact of the matter is Jeb Bush is a clear Democrat or Republican. He stands for nothing except the Bush dynasty. How will this affect his candidacy? Because I would guarantee you that it will benefit Jeb Bush. So before I play Rubio, let's go to Natalia on KFAY Radio. Natalia, go ahead. How do you think this will affect Bush's candidacy?
Hey, Dr. Savage. First, I want to say here's a newborn Savage for you. I believe, Obama, he's on his way out, and I believe he is burning everything on his way out. So we just saw the Feinstein's report, they called, I guess, the torture report.
And yes, in other words, the traitorous move by Dianne Feinstein, the worst possible timing in history to stab America's intelligence community in the back. So, in other words, the left is doing everything it can in a burn-it-all-down campaign before they leave power?
Exactly. In my culture, we call it they're burning the dry bush along with the green bush, basically. So that's what he's doing. And I believe that this move with the improving the relations with Cuba, I believe it's, to counteract the defeat they had last November in the election. So,
hold on. That's an interesting point. How would this help counteract that defeat unless the country is flooded with refugees from Cuba now?
Most Cubans are Latinos. I don't know how many sympathizers are or how many of them are left-leaning.
Most of the older Cubans are conservative Republicans. The young Cubans, like the young Americans, are ignorant of politics and of history. They have no history, and they go along with the moment's emotion. So they could care less about a thing like this. They just want to go to the beach.
And exactly. So you see a lot of these, younger people in academia, and they're going to see this move as, Obama is trying to, appeal to the, minorities, whatever, to the Latino vote, and that's one way to look at it, I think.
Yeah, but we've pointed out in the last hour that the Castros are not any friend of minorities in their own government. There are no African Cubans. In other words, people of color don't exist in their administration. I've known that for years. It's one of the best-kept secrets of the American left. They are an extremely insular, meaning highly racist, administration in Cuba. That's an important point that's been omitted in almost all the discussion thus far, Natalia. I'm sure you'll hear it tonight on Fox News on Martha Washington's show. Thanks for calling. Now, I want to go to Rubio because I think he had his finest moment today. Let's hear clip number two.
It's ironic that a week after we imposed sanctions on human rights violators in Venezuela, we are lifting sanctions on the government that has taught the Venezuelans how to commit these human rights violations. It's absurd. And it's part of a long record of coddling dictators and tyrants that this administration has.
Okay, he was very good. Here's the next one. It was very well done.
I can tell you that his foreign policy is at a minimum naive. And perhaps even truly, truly counterproductive to the future of democracy in the region. And it's just par for the course. Now all of these tyrants around the world know that the U.S. can be had, that it's a pretty easy deal. At a minimum, I would say this. Barack Obama is the worst negotiator of that we've had as president since at least Jimmy Carter and maybe in the modern history of this country.
Beautiful. Now, finally, in clip four, we hear Rubio again at his finest moment.
They're not just benign Cuban spies. There were five of them originally. Two have been released and returned to Cuba. The other three are here and still, although I imagine they've now been released. These Cuban spies were involved in providing information to the Cuban government that led to the murder of U.S. citizens and an infamous shootdown of the Brothers to the Rescue aircraft back in 1996. These were airplanes that used to patrol the Straits of Cuba to find people on rafts to save their lives. The Cuban government shot them down over international waters, and they did so largely based on information that at least one of these spies provided them. These spies will now receive a hero's welcome in Cuba.
I think Marco Rubio has come up to his own in this situation. I mean, I've never been impressed with him. I always felt he was too... Whatever, it doesn't matter what I think about him. I think now he's showing a little different side of himself because this is something close to home. Finally, he went on CNN today in clip 05. Let's hear that one.
When has tourism ever brought about democracy? This government controls every aspect of life in Cuba, every aspect of life. Every single policy change that the U.S. has ever made towards Cuba, whether it's more travel, more person-to-person contact, more remittances, they have manipulated every single one of them. And they will manipulate this as well.
Now, this is interesting. So I will now want to turn the show to the domestic politics in America. Remember, Obama was just roundly rejected at the polls. It was all about him. The American voter hates him. The actual American voter who works for a living hates Obama. They hate the far left. They went to the polls, meaning my audience, and they said, no, yet you're finished. We don't want you. And he came back and he moved as far to the left as imagined. He went as far left, further left than you could ever imagine. Unlike Bill Clinton, who was a skilled politician, who after getting beaten in the midterms moved to the center, this one moved to the far left. So this is all part and parcel of that continuous tripling down on his left-wing fanaticism. Let's take some callers on this. Robert on WBAP from Dallas. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a comment on the listener, or one of your listeners that commented on the Batista regime versus the Castro regime. I grew up in both regimes, and I remember the days of under Batista where very few profited from the hard labor in land, and very, an oppression was so strong that, that's what happened with the revolution.
That's right. He was a bad and evil dictator, but were the Castros better or worse for the average Cuban?
Well, at the beginning, I would like to believe, because I was in the transitional process of it, and I would like to believe that in the beginning, the heart was in the right place, but once the United States turned their backs on them, and...
All right, so in other words, you're blaming America for the behavior of the Castros. This is typical thinking of the communists in America. They blame the fall of the Soviet... You know, for years, I grew up hearing that communism never had a chance to work because America didn't let it work in Russia. And it wasn't given a fair chance. I'm hearing the same argument from you, Robert.
No. I guess you must misinterpret, because I am by no means a communist. I'm 100% red-blooded American.
Okay. Well, I'm not supporting of any dictatorship either, but I understand there was a larger middle class, or let us say more money flowing in Cuba under the dictator Batista than ever under Cuba, under the Castro brothers who destroyed the economy.
Yeah, it was under the control of very few landowners that money was distributed. A lot of landowners used in those days slavery, and we can talk about racism. I've never ever seen racism in Cuba like I've seen it here in the United States.
Whoa. Again, you're attacking the United States when you know there are no Afro Cubanos in the leadership in Cuba. That's true.
That is true. I'm not attacking you. I cannot attack the United States. I'm not attacking
you. No, but you have to acknowledge that that's a truth that I put out on the air. I mean, I know that they're extremely insular, or if you want to say racially insular, there are no people of color in the administration in Cuba.
Right. And the ones we have here in the United States are always bounded by racism as well. They don't, you have to have a group riot to get some kind of attention. Whereas in Cuba, I've never seen racism. Sure enough, there are very few, if any.
You mean amongst the people themselves you don't see racism? The Cuban people don't have any in their blood. But in the administration of the Castro brothers, it's apparent for the fact that the Cuban regime has no people of color in it.
No, that's true. That is absolutely true.
All right, so both things are true. But you're saying Cuba is not a racist society. But the administration under the Castro brothers is quite racist. I think we can agree on that.
That's definitely true. Yes, I agree 100%.
But from the point of view of economics, again, let's go back to economics. Under the corrupt Batista dictatorship, there was a thriving tourist industry in the 1950s. Americans went there like they used to go to Miami. They went there for a good time. They went there to, I think they could gamble there. I'm not sure. I think so. It was like the Las Vegas of the Caribbean. It was a wide open city. People loved it. It was great. There was tons of money flowing around. The minute these guys took over, they destroyed it, and they took over the hotels and all the property, and the property values collapsed, Robert. That's also a truth.
Yes, that is true. But that money...
But what you're saying is the reason it collapsed is because America was no longer supporting these guys, and with the lifting of the embargo, the economy may come back. I think you're also implying that as well, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, maybe you ought to go down there and invest in some property. I can guarantee you that the insiders in the Obama administration have been secretly buying up real estate in Cuba as we speak. I can guarantee you all the highfalutin academics behind this exchange of Gross for the other spies have already put their stakes down in Cuban real estate. I can guarantee you. I can never prove it because they'll use shell companies to have done it. They would have used shell companies to have done it. But, Robert, you know and I know there's a lot of money that's going to be made right now.
Oh, definitely. And on the other side, on the other spectrum, I think that that's going to destroy Cuba's natural beauty. Because look what's happened with Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico has been part of the United States for so many years. And now that country itself, I was just there about 4 or 5 months ago. And before then, it had been 10 years before. And I could tell the deterioration
But Puerto Rico is a collapsed economy, not because of the United States. It's because of the corruption of the administrations one after the other in Puerto Rico. It's not because of the United States, because the administrations are totally corrupt. Giving off the money, giving contracts to friends and family. And, you know, Puerto Rico has one of the highest AIDS epidemics in the Caribbean. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. You know, here's an interesting side note. I was researching, is Cuba a drug transit point? You know, I was surprised to learn it is not.
No.
I was surprised to learn, because of the police state, drugs are not, the punishments are so severe in Cuba. The drug dealers are found and they're shot or they're put in prison for life. There's almost no illicit drug use in Cuba, to the benefit, by the way, of the situation, Robert. I think the American leftists who are going to go there are going to be quite surprised to find themselves in jail if they bring some drugs with them and they think it's a free and open society now that the communists are free to run it any way they want. They're going to wind up, a lot of Americans are going to wind up in prison on drug charges, Robert.
I totally agree. And in a way, that is very good. But then again, not to get off the subject, but I want to just comment on also on the issue of the shooting down of the...
Let's hold on that. Robert, you know, I love having a conversation with you because we're not really agreeing on many things, but we're not arguing. It's because of your nature and my nature. I know how to argue and not argue at the same time of disagreeing and not arguing with someone. You apparently have a nature that's quite gifted where you can disagree with someone without making it sound as though you're mad at them.
Well, thank you. How did you
learn that skill?
Many years of negotiations.
Oh, you're good, my friend. You're good. I'll be right back with Robert on BAP.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Now, there's another element to this Cuba thing, which is Islamic terrorism. And we have to talk about that at another time. There's too much to deal in one day, and I don't want to overwhelm you, you know, or a week before Christmas. But we all wake up every day to another shock to the system from the sneaky administration that we have, and we're talking about that. Jim on WBAP in Dallas has an amazing point about why Obama did this and what it has to do with Ted Cruz and his candidacy for the presidency. Jim on line three. Go ahead, please.
Well, my point is, I believe that Ted Cruz is the only one standing up in Washington against the establishment, both
right.
Republican and Democrat. And I believe firmly that maybe this move in the middle of the night was to make sure that he wouldn't have any input. You know, Ted.
How does this move affect Ted Cruz's candidacy?
I think that it will not allow him to get the Mexican vote that might be siphoned off by a Jeb Bush.
But wait a minute, I'm missing. What? Why would the Mexican vote go to Jeb Bush at all?
Well, he's in Florida. He's been in Florida. He had the Mexican vote and the Cuban vote down there. He had the Cuban. Well, I guess the Cuban.
You say okay. Let's say the Hispanic vote. Jeb Bush would get the Hispanic vote because he speaks Spanish and he is in favor of a massive illegal immigration. We understand that. But how does this affect Ted Cruz, the Cuba thing?
I believe that Ted Cruz has been a champion to the Spanish-speaking people. You look at where his father...
Yeah, but he opposes illegal immigration, doesn't he?
Yes, but for the right reasons. The people, most of the people I know over here that are Spanish-speaking people are opposed to people...
Absolutely. Most Hispanics who are here legally are opposed to illegal immigration because they know it'll destroy their standing in our society. I understand that as well. Jim, thanks for calling. I still don't see the connection between Obama's normalizing relations with Cuba... and the Ted Cruz candidacy. I'm sure there's something to do with it. I can't figure it out. The phone number here is 855-407-282. 855-407-282. Russia. From Russia with love. Never forget that Putin is being backed into a corner by the sissies under the Obama, in the Obama administration. What sense does it make to push Putin to war while opening up relations with the Castros? I'll explain in the next hour.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I grew up on this music, which makes me an expert on Cuba, so that's why I'm talking about it today. I say, what are you talking about? Because you dance to Cuban music, you're an expert? Well, let's say compared to conservatives in the media who can't dance at all, I would say yes. I'm closer to being an expert on Cuba than a guy who can't do a foxtrot, let alone a mambo on two. So here now, the hardliners, the predictable screamers on the right, are going to say that it's a sellout, this and that. And they're probably right. The principles are gone and all. It's all true. But it's not a black and white issue. This issue of the Cuba thing today is not a black and white issue. It's not one way or the other 100%, and that's the truth. So people would argue, yes, but this principle. Well, all right, good for you. The world doesn't run on 100% principle, and I dare say that no one in the media is 100% principled. That's number two. But let's look at the realpolitik of this issue. Let us say you live in Israel, or you live in Jordan, or you live in Saudi Arabia. You wake up today, and you say, holy God, when is he going to shaft us and lift the sanctions on Iran? If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, can you imagine what will happen? You know that the United States has been the main ally of these nations for the last 30 years. American policy, whether it has been Clinton or Carter, has always been to isolate the extremist Islamic regime in Iran, which has threatened to wipe Israel off the map. And then, of course, they call us the great Satan as well. In 2009, Obama reached out to the terrorists in Iran. In 2009, he wouldn't back the Iranian people's revolution, would he? No. So what is the United States to an Israeli or a Saudi or a Jordanian today? It's an unreliable partner. And I believe that what's coming tomorrow will be far worse than what happened today. The announcement today about the change in American policy towards Cuba, the reestablishment of diplomatic relations by the sneakiest president in the history of this republic, has deep ramifications going well beyond the island prison of Cuba. It's a gigantic change, and it's not a good one. And it's not good because it will affect not only our foreign policy, it will also affect our domestic election in the year 2016. which is something that I think the average American would sink their teeth into. In other words, what does this move with Cuba have to do with shafting Republicans who are conservative, like Ted Cruz, and elevating Republicans who stand for nothing, like Jeb Bush? The answer is everything, and I just told you what it has to do with it. Now, I want to take your calls because I've given you a little background from my point of view. We played some Cuban music, and the phone number here is 855-400-7282, but there are no open lines. It's an astonishingly busy topic. I sensed it would be, and I know many people have strong opinions on it. But what I'd like to do is play for you the opening to Godfather 2. We opened our number one with it because it was so much fun. I never forgot this particular piece of GF2 where Batista, the character Batista, gives a speech New Year's Eve in Havana, and Michael Corleone is there, and all of the gangsters are there with all of, you know, the military Cuban. And all of a sudden, the leader of Cuba, Batista the dictator, realizes that it's over, that the communists in the streets have won, and he resigns. Listen to this now.
Debido a serios reveses de nuestras tropas en Guantánamo y Santiago, mi permanencia en Cuba es insostenible. Renuncio para evitar más derramamiento de sangre y salgo de la ciudad inmediatamente. Me despido a nombre de mi familia y en el mío propio, deseándoles a todos muy buena suerte.
Salud, salud, salud.
Mi último acto.
What, oh, man, oh,
ahora
nombro
un gobierno
right.
provisional.
Salud.
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 Salud. Salud.
Salud. Salud. Salud. And then the vermin invaded. The vermin in the streets, in other words, the equivalent of our Occupy movement, invaded the hotels and the parliament, broke windows, stole furniture, and ransacked everything of property in Cuba, along the lines of what's going on in America on a smaller scale. And you wonder what's involved in the politics of this move towards Cuba. It has everything to do with making nice to a dictatorship because birds of a feather, etc. Now I'd like to take your calls, but first I want to play something very funny for you before I take your calls. Since it's hour number three, I have a chance to breathe a minute, a second or two. Because I only have 200 affiliates in this hour, 240, I don't know exactly how many. And just joking, I want to play a piece that someone found that I did on this speech by in The Godfather that was posted on YouTube from 2009. Let's listen to. Oh, you got to dig it up. Never. I'll take a call while you're looking for it. Bobby on WABC, go ahead, please. Your opinion counts. What's on your mind?
The thing with Cuba, there's one reason why we never ever recognized Cuba over these past 50 years. John Kennedy, when he was president, tried to kill Castro, as we all know. Castro returned the favor and was implicated in killing Kennedy. We recognized every other communist nation, Russia, China, Vietnam, etc. But isn't it strange we never recognized Cuba? Because when every president got in there and they sat down with security people, they were told he was the one who was implicated in this. And that's why we haven't done anything with them. But leave it to the guy who's in the White House now, because he holds no allegiance to the history of the United States and to the security of the United States, as evidenced by immigration, et cetera.
So wait, so why is he doing this? What is Obama doing here? Why is he doing it then?
He doesn't care anymore. He's a lame duck. He lost both houses.
Well, he's no lame duck. Look what he's doing to the country, ushering in 20 million illegal aliens, doing a deal with Cuba. That's not a lame duck.
He's doing it with that legislative permission, and it'll get turned back. It will get turned back.
Okay. Well, there's a part of it that will not get turned back. He stroked the pen, and there are things that are being put in motion that will not be turned back. You think Boehner is going to turn any of this back?
Oh, yes, he will. Once he hears the hue and cry from the American public, from the populace that's out there, they're not going to. They don't want to recognize Cuba until Castro's dead. Both of them, both brothers, Raul and him, dead. Okay, then they might recognize it. But right now, that man is guilty of a crime against the United States presidency. Simple as that.
So you tie it into the assassination of JFK. That's very interesting. I never heard that idea before.
You tell me why we haven't recognized Cuba, but we've recognized every single other.
Well, China's a bigger human rights abuser than Cuba.
Why haven't we recognized Cuba?
I don't know. China's a much bigger human rights abuser than Cuba.
Kill the U.S. president, did they?
No. Well, it was a Republican who opened up relations with China. It was Nixon who did it.
You know,
old Henry Kissinger can be thanked for that one.
Didn't try
and as a result, China's eating us for eating our lunch.
Vietnam and Russia, they never tried to kill us, did they?
Okay, you're a very brilliant analyst. So, Bobby, I'll throw this question your way. I open my show by saying never forget that at the same time he's making nice with Cuba, he's driving Russia to war. What do you think about that statement?
I think he's trying to squeeze them. Okay, seriously trying to squeeze him. He doesn't care because he's got, if you remember back in 2012, he said to Medvedev, who was the head of Russia at the time, in an open microphone.
Yeah, he said, I'll have more power once I'm president, long before the election when he knew he was going to be anointed.
I'll be more flexible or something along those lines.
Because he knew Romney was a stooge. Romney was a Manchurian candidate who threw the election.
Did he do anything when he took over Crimea? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We're looking like the tough guy, but guess what? All of Europe needs their gas and their oil.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is by crashing the ruble, you know that they just raised their rates to 17% in Russia overnight, and the ruble is collapsing. Do you know what's going on with prices in Russia right now?
Oh, they go.
You know what happens when you push a nation like that, they go to war, they don't back off.
Well, don't you think maybe he's making it easier for him to take over the rest of the Ukraine by this? It gives him a reason.
No. The opposite. I think the opposite is true. I think that he's trying to show how tough he is, and the girls who are running the administration have no idea who Putin is. They haven't the slightest idea who this man actually is. They think he's just another stooge that they could push around like the Republican Party.
In the past couple days.
To the girls who run the Obama administration, Putin is just a member of the Tea Party who speaks Russian.
Well, I got news for you. In the past couple days, you have seen him, Putin, okay, saying how tough he's going to get with Ukraine, how tough, and they're leading. They're going to be sorry if they lead too far to the west and not come back to my point of view. Believe me, someday in the middle of the night, he's going to go in there, and his people are going to roll over it and take over the Ukraine, and he's going to say, what are you going to do about it now? You push me to this.
Well, I'll tell you what else Putin can do if he's pushed any further by the girls who run the Obama administration. He could cut off all the natural gas to Europe. They'd freeze to death this winter.
You think Europe is not going to do anything about his plan?
Well, what can they do? They have no military to speak of. But you see, the Europeans are not pressuring Russia the same way that this sorority is in the White House, because they're more dependent on Russia. They don't want war with Russia. They want trade with Russia. They could care less about Ukraine. They could care less about Crimea. But Obama has an obsession with Russia. And what I'm saying is, you could look at this from the point of view of a rational progressive and say this is a good thing with Cuba because it reduces tension and maybe something good will come of it. We don't need hostility with Cuba after 50 years. But if that were the reason that Obama did it, then why is he now provoking Russia? In other words, I don't see him doing the same thing with Russia, saying let's stop provoking each other.
Get back to the Cuba thing again. Let's look at Obama, okay? All the owners of the big casinos, Atlantic City and out in Las Vegas, okay, they're hurting for money. What's going to happen in Cuba now? They're going to open up casinos down there, and it's going to bury all of his enemies who supported the rightist people.
Oh, you're telling me he's going to do this to get even with Steve Wynn?
He's going to do a lot of stuff to get even. He don't
he's care. Doing this to get even with Sheldon Adelson?
Bingo. Look what Adelson did to him. How much money do you throw at him? These people cost him the Congress through their donations and the Senate. Okay, very, very simple. Okay.
What's interesting to me is that the sneak in the White House would spend 45 minutes on the phone talking to one of the world's most brutal dictators, Raul Castro, today, when he won't talk to the Koch brothers, who represent, let us say, a modest Republican point of view. He hates American conservatives more than he does actual terrorist dictators. How is that possible?
It's very possible because of his leftist background. Look who he's been associated with his whole political career. Look at where he comes from. Look at what he's done, okay?
Bobby, you're another great analyst for the Savage Nation. I'm glad you're a listener. I'm sending you a copy of my book for Hanukkah or Christmas. You have to say whether you want it for Hanukkah or Christmas. Stop the Coming Civil War. Which do you want, the Hanukkah version or the Christmas version?
Give me the version that's the easiest to read. How's that?
I'm going to give you one, my book in Aramaic. I think you may be able to read that. Stay on the line, Bobby. I love my callers today. You know, you have to admit that talk radio is the greatest outlet for ideas left in the United States of America. I'm learning as I go, incidentally. I have some ideas on it, but as I started the show 3 hours ago, 2.5 hours ago, I said it's not a black and white issue. I can't say I'm the world's expert on it. I know certain things about the issues, and I've done a fairly good job. I don't claim to be a great expert on, but I've learned more in this show than I have in the last number of shows because I've got callers who know more about the Cuban situation than I do, and I'll be right back to take more of the callers.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. News on the Savage Nation. Of course, we know that relations with Cuba have been normalized after 54 years by the sneaky administration in the middle of the night. But what you did not hear is that one of the largest rebel brigades in Syria, trained in Jordan for 2 years by U.S. Special Forces and supported by the Israeli army, has dumped the Israelis and dumped the United States and switched to ISIS. This has happened despite the fact that idiots like John McCain have been telling us to arm the rebels for well over 3 years now. But the Syrian rebel Yarmouk Shuhada Brigades, backed and trained in Jordan for 2 years by U.S. officers and supported by the Israeli army, has dumped them and switched to the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. What does this mean? It means Israeli defense formations on the Golan, U.S. and Jordanian troops, deployments in the northern part of the Jordanian kingdom, and pro-Western rebel conquests in southern Syria are in danger of collapse. It also means ISIS gains direct access to a long section of Israel's Golan border with Syria. This is another example of the fools who are running this government, and I mean fools, and I don't only mean Obama, and I don't only mean Democrats. With fools like McCain, trust me, you don't need any more enemies than that one. This guy's been trying to arm these people for years now. So you heard it first on the Savage Nation. The world's falling apart at the seams. And the president is getting ready for a three-week golfing vacation in Hawaii. Jim on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. Great show, great last book. Quick question. Now that we're simpatico with Cuba, do we get Joanne Chesimard back?
Who, the Black Panther radical woman?
Yeah, just curious about that one.
You know her? How do you remember her?
I'm 60 years old. I remember back in the day, you know, so I remember hearing
it. What did she do? Did she shotgun a cop and get a teaching job at Harvard for it?
And I think after that, she...
I know Angela Davis helped assassinate a cop at San Quentin. She was involved in smuggling weapons in, and she was rewarded with a lifetime tenured professorship at the University of California at Santa Cruz. I'm surprised she hasn't been invited to the White House yet.
You know, I mean, do we get her back? You know, I mean, it was such friendly...
Well, we need her in America now from Cuba, the Black Panther, because she could help in the riots that are emerging, that are being organized by the White House. She'd be a perfect community organizer, wouldn't she?
Let's call her, and I don't want to get too crazy, but we look at the past history of this alleged president, and you look at his background with his grandfather and father fighting the Brits in the Mau Mau War. Colonialization, they hate that. You know, his mentor, Frank Marshall Davis, it all ties in. I mean, this is too...
Yeah, if you look at it through the long lens of history, it makes sense. But if you look at it from the point of view of America, the people are bewildered by this man's actions. But he's so slick and smooth at what he does that the average person doesn't even know what he's doing, nor do they care. They could care less. You think they care that he normalized relations with Cuba? Do you think the average welfare recipient cares? No. You think the average illegal alien even understands it? It's not even... They don't understand what just happened. They could care less. The checks keep coming. The government cheese keeps coming. Yep. How many Cuban refugees are going to come in now under this normalization? Are we going to get the dregs of their society now? Is he going to open up the prisons for us?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Adosa, welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's a great day for communists around the world who have been rewarded by Obama's sneaky move in the middle of the night, another sneak attack on the American Constitution. But, you know, slowly but surely there's a glimmer of hope here and there, such as This story came and went yesterday, but a federal judge ruled that Obama's immigration actions are unconstitutional. The opinion was filed yesterday by U.S. District Judge Arthur Schwab in Pennsylvania, who said that Obama's immigration actions are invalid and effectively count as legislation from the executive branch. So although this will not have an immediate effect on Obama's dictatorial inclinations and actions, it is clear to me that it's a primary salvo, one of the first salvos in a Supreme Court fight that we will probably see in early 2015 against Obama's flooding of America with illegal aliens. That will come up, and I think that this legal action, this finding rather by a judge, will be used as a precedent or as a piece of evidence. John Eastman, law professor Chapman, said this: the president's unilateral executive action suspending the nation's immigration laws for roughly 5 million illegal aliens has received its first judicial test, and it has failed. Naturally, the Justice Department, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Obama machine, has the opposite point of view. My suspicion is that the Republican Party will nullify Obama's illegal activities little by little. Unfortunately, Obama's rushing them through as fast as he can, so they become fait accompli. In other words, a fait accompli. You know, by the time the Republicans get around to reconvening and working on all of the insults to our Constitution, it'll almost be a moot point even if they win in reversing some of them, because the country will already be receiving the immigrants. And what are you going to do with them then? KSFO in San Francisco. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, what's up, man? I suffer from the same dilemma that you suffer from, man. I got a memory like an elephant, man. I never forget anything, okay? Yeah, pretty much what the deal is, what we're seeing right now, what's happening in Cuba, is the fact that we're seeing the seeds that were already planted by the Congressional Black Caucus when they went to Cuba right before the ACA or Obamacare deal went. So pretty much what we've seen is the result of that. That's what we're seeing right now.
Well, why would they go to Cuba but to study the Cuban health system, which is about the worst in the Western Hemisphere, in order to enact the worst health care in the United States of America? Obviously, that's as smart as they can possibly be on this issue. You know, I love all the communist professors in America used to glow about Cuba and the education system and the medical system. Meanwhile, when Castro got sick, he sent for a doctor from Spain. He didn't use a Cuban doctor. How do you figure that one out?
Yeah, well, I tell you.
You remember the Maya Lansky character in The Godfather? I don't know if you're a movie lover as I am. When he lays there with some kind of heart condition, he says, "We'll get you a doctor in Cuba." And he says, "No, fly one in from Florida. I don't trust any doctor who doesn't speak English." I thought that was a funny line, but I think Castro feels the same way.
You know, the one that I really like is when Michael's father tell him to don't. Women can be careless. Men cannot be careless.
Oh yeah, I love that. When what's his name, Brando says, "Yeah, man can't be careless." He says, "Children can be careless. Women can be careless. But a man can't be careless." That one, that's a great line.
Do you remember that one, Mike?
So you want me to do a few? I'm getting you laughing today, Cliff. A few more jokes for you. Give me another line. I'll give you the Don Corleone version.
I'll give you another one. Evil exists. Okay.
No. I'll give you another one. Here's another one. Advice to the young Corleone from the Marlon Brando character. Actually, it wasn't you said it, which is keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. How about when he says at the funeral, he says, remember whoever comes to you with an offer to meet, he's going to assassinate you. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You never heard me do my great parody of Don Scungilli. That's one of my favorite bits I've ever done in radio, about Don Scungilli, who runs Hollywood. That's one of my favorite parodies I've ever done. I don't know where it is on tape. So, Cliff, I assume you're a regular listener to my show.
Oh, absolutely. You know I am, man. You know, but remember this, Mike, and don't ever forget it. Evil exists on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Now, that did not come from the Kill the Koran. That came from basic instructions before leaving Earth, baby. Okay? Remember that one.
Cliff, have you and I ever met? Do we know each other?
No, but I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to check out that video about the 2015 Corvette going against the Hellcat. You got to check that one.
You know, you're bringing up a car story right now in the middle of this. Do you know that Chrysler is building me a Hellcat?
I know. I heard you talk.
No, I was going to buy one in silver, and then I said, you know, I really wanted in jet black. So they said, well, there are none. No one can get them. I want a jet black order. So Chrysler stepped in. They're actually building one for me on the production line. I should have it. I don't know when. I hope I have it soon. But I cannot wait to drive it around during an Occupy rally, or let's say in Marin County when all the Prius drivers are going to just fume as they see me go by in the most powerful car on earth.
Mike, I have a 72 El Camino, dude. Top shelf, okay?
You're funny. You're a funny guy. I don't think you ever... Did you ever call this show before, Cliff? I don't recall your voice. I love it, though.
Of course I have. Yeah, I called you before. I told you the line about those...
But, Cliff, how could you like my show if you're not a right-wing Republican white man? How is that possible?
Say what?
How could you like my show if you're not a white right-wing Republican?
Mike, I'm a realist. I'm an American, man. I love this country, man. I hate...
So you can look right through Barack Obama better than I can.
Oh, man, dude, this guy was, he was so clairvoyant. You could see right through this guy, man, from day one. I never voted for him. I don't support people who vote for him. And I've lost a lot of friends because they voted for him. You understand what I'm saying?
You know, my only hope is that someone's been slipping Obama invisible ink for all of the executive actions so that they disappear in time. You know, maybe some lemon juice could be used to see what he actually wrote. Hey, Cliff, thanks for calling. Stay on the line. I'm sending you Stop the Coming Civil War in a plain brown wrapper, and it will be in Arabic to make certain that you can read it upside down and backwards. 855-407-2822-WFTL in Florida. We have a woman calling amongst my 25 women listeners of the millions of people. I have a woman calling. How is that possible? This is not a man's club, Grace. I'm glad you called. What's on your mind?
I'm 62 years old. My parents, I'm Cuban American. My parents brought me over at the age of 7 in 1960. Never been back. My father went to law school with Fidel. My father always told us the man was anti-American, a terrorist. In fact, he called my dad to be the attorney general when he took over. My dad said, not in a communist country. 2 weeks later, he was framed with bombs in his car. The man is a terrorist. He is training Somalis, bringing them over from Somalia. They're being trained. They're crossing the border, passing off as Cubans, asking for political asylum. They are in this country. I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact.
So why is Obama making nice with him? He certainly must know that.
Of course he does. That's why there's something underlying with the Americans in Cuba for the longest, longest time. These three spies were tried for terrorism. They were involved. They were convicted. All of a sudden, going back now, Fidel's going to call a rally. He's going to make everybody go, because it's Raul or whoever, make everybody go, and they're going to welcome them as heroes. And what? What are we getting out of this? What are we getting out of this?
The embargo. Well, that's what I. What is the Vatican getting out of it? You know, they're benefiting as well.
Well, the Vatican, the Pope, Jesse Jackson is on CNN now, getting accolades and all this. You know, it's.
What does that con man have to do with Cuba? What does he have to do with it?
I have no idea. He's in the light.
Yesterday he was saluting the burning and looting in America, saying that protest is necessary. That Martin Luther King Jr. was called a terrorist also. Now what? Now suddenly he's an expert on Cuba?
He thinks he is.
Well, where is Al Sharpton? He may have to learn a few words of Spanish now.
I'm sure he will. I'm telling you, this has been coming for a long time. It does not surprise me. I knew Obama was going to do this. It does not surprise me.
All right, so you know and I know what's coming next.
Yes.
He is going to use memoranda to drop sanctions against Iran and put them on Israel. As sure as I'm sitting here, that's coming as the next shock sometime in 2015.
Of course it is. It's amazing. It caught me off guard today, and my coworkers are going to say, it doesn't surprise me. It does not surprise me. I'm in my...
Well, Grace, I'm glad that you're a listener to this show. I don't think you're the first... This is the first time you listen to the Savage Nation.
No, my brother turned me on to Michael Savage. He's a pilot. He's a firefighter. He says, you got to listen to this guy. I've been listening to you. I'm a low-key person. When this happened, I was talking to him. I said, I'm calling Michael Savage. I am calling. You are? Yes, I am. I'm calling.
Oh, so now I bring brother and sister together politically.
This is nasty. What's coming is nasty. You watch.
No, I know. This is the beginning of a salvo that's going to shock the world. And what's stunning is that the sneak did it in the middle of the night just before he leaves on a three-week vacation to Hawaii, all expenses paid. I hope you're enjoying my Benny More, Orquesta Aragon, Perez Prado. Do you like my music?
I love your music. My husband's a Cuban musician.
What instrument? What instrument does he play?
He's the, you know what a charanga band is?
I know? I grew up on listening to charanga bands in Manhattan.
Okay, he's got a charanga band called Havana Soul. So.
And where do you guys play in Fort Lauderdale or Miami?
All over the place. I'll send you an email so you can show up one day. They're very good. They're like the Aragon.
Well, I go to Florida once in a while. I will show up if I have friends. Otherwise, I won't go there. If you tell me where I'll be greeted as a friend in a Cuban club or in a Cuban restaurant, I will go.
I will invite you. You're my friend. How's that?
All right. Guys, give Grace your email and give Grace a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. Maybe I'll meet him on my trip to Florida. I may go next week, but I'm not sure. I'm going to, what is today? Wednesday, right? Wednesday. So I'm on the air tomorrow. I'm taking Friday off because I have to make a small trip to L.A. for the weekend. I happen to like L.A. I'm one of the people from San Francisco who finds L.A. exciting, and I like it. The people are alive. The food is better. People actually get dressed for dinner in most of the restaurants. In the Bay Area, people look like they've just come back from a hike in a mud-infested villa somewhere, in a mud-infested swamp. Why do people go to dinner dressed like they've just come back from a hike here in the Bay Area? I don't understand it. If I have to go into one more restaurant with people dressed like combat boots, ripped dungarees, what is this? And a baby crying. Nevertheless, I like L.A. It's a little more upscale. So you say, you like it so much, why don't you move there? My answer is, why I have to move to a place I like to visit? No, I like the Bay Area. I love the climate. I love the earth forms. I like the bay. I like the birds. I like the bees. I like the animals. I even like the owls and the trees behind my property. In fact, they speak to me at night. Should I come out with a flashlight at night for Teddy to go relieve himself? The owl goes, hoo, 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 as if to say, hey, dude, you're blinding me. My night vision just went out. Put that light out because I can't see the mouse. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. If you grew up with this music and it's in your blood, I'm telling you, you can still feel it many years later. And I do remember the whole scene of Castro seizing power in Cuba and how Americans were they actually were happy in the beginning. Most Americans kind of understood that it was a dictatorship and the average Cuban was oppressed and there was no land rights and they were serfs and all of that. And even though they went there for entertainment and gambling and whatever, they knew that it was not a good place for the average Cuban. And there was a sense that, well, this lawyer, Fidel Castro, who conducted his revolution, he was not a communist, by the way, at the time, so the people thought, he was going to make it better for the people. And yet soon it turned out that he arrested he soon arrested many of the men who fought with him from the early days in the Sierra Madres. Those men who opposed him becoming an outright communist and aligning himself with Russia were imprisoned, and some of them are still in prison. Many, many decades later, many of them died in prison after horrible torture. It's not like prison in America where you get kosher or halal meals, vegetarian or vegan. You get the slop that they wouldn't feed the pigs. So that was the first thing, was the purge of anyone who opposed the Castro brand of communism. Because most of them were not communists. They were fighting for the liberation of Cuba and, let us say, equality for the Cuban people. They didn't want to elect an animal farm dictatorship in Cuba, so they were arrested or shot. And then suddenly things changed rapidly. If you remember the famous story of Meyer Lansky, one of America's most notorious gangsters, a member of Murder Incorporated, remember what happened there? All his life he stole, and he murdered, and he ran booze, and he saved millions of dollars. And what did he do with it? He invested it in one hotel in Havana called the Nacional, I believe. And as it is said, I think in his own biography, which I read a while ago, Lansky said, I spent my whole life looting, murdering, etc., to build a hotel, and then finally a gang bigger than mine, one with an army, stole it from me. And that's what happened. The gang called the Castros was bigger than the U.S. Mafia. They had a military, and they took away all of the property of that particular, of Meyer Lansky and many others, went into the hands of the Castros. And, of course, they ended the entire tourist industry to Cuba in the way that it was popularly known. It became just a different kind of thing altogether. And for the last number of years, Americans have been going to Cuba through Canada for the sad truth that there's a great deal of prostitution in Cuba amongst young girls and young boys because there's just no money in that economy. That's the sad truth of liberalism. Wherever you look, they make believe that they're doing it for humanitarian reasons, but they're really not. Let's pray to God that the Cuban people benefit from this, but more importantly, that we, the American middle class, do not get hurt by this sneaky move in the middle of the night. And that's all I have to say right now on the Savage Nation, other than God bless America.
Savage.